wreaking havoc in my mind. Circles can't fit into squares, like I can't change the time. No matter what I say or do or try, if the past gives me my present, then I don't feel why. I raise my hands to the sky to measure the distance between you and I.
Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromorrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Not the prime time, bitch!
No better way to wake up than with some rotting Christ.
Welcome to prime time, bitch.
Thank you, Freddy.
Thank you.
I think you should stick to
your... I mean your dream.
You should stick to your power metal voices.
That's true.
Good morning. Welcome to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. We are back for another hour of local all Massachusetts metal, I believe, today, aside from your black metal song of the week.
True.
And we will have metal history.
Yep.
The metal concert calendar for the next 2 weeks, because we have no show next week, so
some
bonus shows for you
Damn.
To see.
Damn.
Very exciting.
Bonus.
Very abbreviated police blotter. And Matt, we have some late-breaking news.
Extremely late-breaking news. RIP, former Pantera drummer, Damage Plan drummer, and Hell Yeah drummer, and all-around like music guy, right? Vinnie Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away this morning, I guess. They're on a tour in Europe, I think, with Hell Yeah. And I tweet from Dave Mustaine, then confirmed by Billboard, and the family put something out there on social media. Because I have to know immediately when all my...
What? Didn't that... That was like...
favorite celebs are dead.
Was it Scott Weiland, where like Dave Navarro broke the news or something, and then they had a... There was something like that last night.
I think Dave Navarro also was tweeting about it this morning. Or late last night or something. Yeah, sucks. Only 54. Like, very, very young. Obviously, like, lived a hard life, but still pretty young. Ugh. I don't know. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, Hell Yeah, I guess. I guess that'd be the corollary to that, but... I mean, like, one of those people who's, like, kind of like an ambassador of the genre, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty iconic, too, just in his look, the cowboy hat.
The whole thing. Yeah, the whole gimmick with that.
And that was, you didn't read, if you followed, Randy Blythe's trial, and they were talking about metal. Basically, Vinny gave him permission to tell Dimebag's story and like use it. He basically wrote a letter as part of his defense in his case, so like he wanted that story out there.
Makes sense.
So, excuse me. Yes, R.I.P. Vinny Paul Abbott. Yeah, I guess we'll use that to segue into other stuff that's going on, right? Perfect, nice, somber way to open the show.
I mean, Wrestler of the Week.
We got Wrestler of the Week come back. Vader passed away.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, he
was one of the nice, gentle giants of, of the industry.
Seems like legitimately a nice guy. Like, every time you hear, like, a wrestling podcast, like, everyone, no one's ever said, like, man, Vader's always politicking backstage. Like, everyone's like, he's a pretty nice guy.
He was a victim of... politics.
He was a victim of politics, and he could do like every single wrestling move. Because I feel like there's no other giant person who looked like that who could do any of those moves. And I think that's crazy. That's been 20 years, and there hasn't been anyone else who can really do it. Mm-hmm. I guess Keith Lee to a certain extent. Yeah, pretty sad.
Yeah,
but he had been sick for two years or so. He had like congestive heart failure. I think got pneumonia last month and passed away. But yeah, Vader. Not in the Hall of Fame, which we'll get to. A little ridiculous, but I think more of his contributions just like in wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, like He was in WCW, obviously. A lot of him being famous from Japan.
Because it's funny. If you watch, like, Monday Night War era, like, he wasn't prominent.
He wasn't really. There,
he was
kind of
all pre that or in Japan.
He was, like, new generation, mm-hmm. and he was kind of treated like a joke in WWE, yep. and then, like, kind of bounced back and forth WCW. But him being just, like, you look at him, and you're like, oh, that is a wrestler.
Yes.
Or, like, you know, he's on Boy Meets World. He's on a couple episodes of Baywatch. You know, you can't get away from that guy. So, R.I.P. Vader, Billy Ball.
So, yes, we are bringing back the rest of the week.
If celebs could just stop dying for a couple seconds, please.
Well, so, speaking of wrestling, previewing the Beyond Show, which will be in Melrose Memorial Hall tomorrow, my co-host will not be attending.
I will not be going to a baby viewing.
So, we should add wrestling expert, local resident wrestling expert, John Norbit, call in.
Corbett Norbit.
See if he has any input on the big show tomorrow. It is a big show. There's a lot of, again, this is one of those things, like, when you, like, back in the day, Memorial Hall used to host kind of your stereotypical, like, high school gym wrestling,
yeah.
kind of, you wouldn't know anybody, or if you did, they'd be, like, old broken down legends.
Or it'd be, like, a show. The firefighters or,
like,
something.
The Boogeyman.
Oh!
But this is a big show, and a lot of names that you've heard of if you follow independent wrestling at all, even some mainstream guys, so we will get to that. Today, Matt, you following the World Cup? I know you're a big soccer
Absolutely
fan.
Absolutely not. Oh, I saw Germany. I saw Mexico beat Germany. That was like a week ago, right?
Yes.
That's fun. I always guess pull for Mexico because of my love of Jorge Campos as a child. It's my favorite goalie.
Do you know Chicharito now?
No. Like, I mean, okay. I haven't been like. I'm talking about when I was nine. That's when I followed the most soccer.
Very depressing that Iceland lost yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are they still in it?
They are. It's going to be one of those things. So, like, Argentina, they tied Argentina a week ago, and then Argentina lost to Croatia. So Argentina and your boy Messi were on the verge of being eliminated. Mm-hmm. But this is what always happens.
He is my boy.
Because Iceland lost, so now Nigeria. So basically what's going to happen is that Argentina is going to win their next match. Iceland will lose to Croatia, and Argentina is going to advance, and it's going to be lame.
That sucks.
You know?
Who's the favorite this year?
Brazil? The usual same teams. Germany-Brazil.
Germany-Brazil.
Maybe Belgium. They're like the dark horse. It's their last chance.
Does Iceland do the thing where they do the one big clap?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of neat.
It was neat until the Vikings stole it this year because they thought they were cool when they made the playoffs.
The Minnesota Vikings. Ugh,
very annoying. We had the hockey. I'm sure you watched the hockey awards, the NHL awards.
Yeah, I watched them start to finish. Didn't miss a single one.
Only award you need to know about is Victor Hedman is now your Norris Trophy winner.
Makes sense.
The only award that matters, clearly.
It seems fair.
And the draft was last night. NBA draft, Matt. Any NBA NHL draft?
Absolutely not. I can't watch the draft. Music. I told a friend of ours who's watching the draft that the draft is for sex perverts and weirdos, and I'll never watch the draft.
Which one?
Any draft.
You missed out. Bruins and Lightning didn't even have a first round pick.
Sure.
For hockey. All right. On that note.
Yeah.
We'll get into
weirdos watching the draft.
Yeah, you should offer some alternative viewing. You know, you got
anything else? Watch White Castle of Fear with Vader and Sting. Rather than watching the draft, like, Jesus Christ.
Why are you so opposed to the draft?
It's so tedious. It's just guys in suits going, now we'll pick this high school child. And a kid stands up wearing a suit and he puts on a hat. And then, is he going to be good? I have no idea. It's a waste. It's not a game. It's not anything.
You know what you should watch is the baseball draft. Especially because those guys, you won't see them play for another 4 years.
That's even stupider. Yeah, like, I'll watch the game. Because it's, you know what it is? It's like once the game is over, it could be like the Super Bowl, like the biggest, whatever the biggest possible sporting event is. Like, as soon as like the timer runs out, I'm like, off, turn off. Like, I don't want to hear like people talking about breaking down and analyzing the game. Like, don't care. Do not care at all. I saw the whole thing. I do not care.
So you're not a fan of the whole NFL trying to have the entire calendar year revolve around that?
I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting that I know when like Patriots like non-mandatory mini camp starts. Like, why do I?
People and they open the doors to training camp and everybody sprints in and
it's
follows
so
up.
So ridiculous.
Like,
yeah, my brother-in-law went to training camp and I'm like, that seems so tedious to watch guys just stand around in those like pinnies and like drinking Gatorade and like doing wind sprints. I'm like, I don't know. It just seems awful. There's gotta be better
stuff
to do.
That's pretty awful. I'd rather watch a draft than go to training camp.
That's crazy. I guess I'd go to the draft so you could just boo every pick, like the
Jets. Boo the commissioner.
Yeah, the commissioner comes out, I boo him. Every pick, I just boo it. Whatever. Ugh.
Makes for a good drinking game.
I did like, was it Mel Kiper Jr. on? No. Who was the guy on Twitter who just kept using different words for wants? Yeah. It was like watch. Angling, looking
because,
at,
you know why,
desiring.
Right? No. The NH, so this is Twitter's an awful place,
no,
even though I use it all the time. But yeah, so him and his protege on Yahoo, Sham, they would always tweet out the picks before they happened. So the NBA wanted to crack down. They're like, you can't do this. So they're like, all right. So then Sham proceeded to tweet out the first two picks of the draft. So in retaliation, Woj, who now works for ESPN, was tweeting out synonyms, various synonyms, instead of taking this guy, they're angling for this guy at pick 23.
Okay.
Or they're the Celtics, I believe, were tantalized by their draft pick.
I thought that was fun, watching that on Twitter.
But I don't know why you want to do that. Like, if you're going to watch, again, if you're going to have a nice draft viewing party, you want to know the picks.
Yeah, I know. Time, yeah, you know? You're watching.
People are going to ruin everything.
You and the other sex perverts and watching the draft. You're sitting on your couch. You got your, cup of mayonnaise or whatever people who watch the draft eat. You're chowing down on that, and you're watching kids stand up in a room.
Hamilton calling and yelling.
You know what? Get Mark over here. He'll call me. I'll debate him about watching the draft.
All right, let's play some new music. We got two new songs, or two recent songs at least, from show favorite bands. We got actually a nice wrestling titled song.
Thank God.
We have Gozu, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat. Before that, we're going to play you some new Fathom Farewell. This is their latest single off their upcoming EP. We were going to have these guys on the show potentially. I got put in contact with a drummer, then the drummer promptly left the band. So
Damn. We'll
have to revisit this. They used to be a Fathom Farewell, and now they are simply Fathom Farewell. Big branding change. It's like when the Rays were the Devil Rays.
Yeah, right? But and then the guy, some religious guy, bought them.
Anyway, now they're...
And he's like, can't have devil in the name?
That's not what happened at all. But anyway, here's Consume the Earth by
It is.
Fathom
Don't believe
Farewell.
Him.
You listen to Brutal Brunch, WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live at WMFO. Numbers here. If you want to call in, 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264 if you want to yell at Matt about his draft hot takes.
Yeah, talk to me about the draft.
Talk about Beyond Wrestling, any
dork.
Of these cool things. Matt will call you a dork and then proceed to talk about wrestling. Here we go. Fathom Farewell.
This is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal. Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Yeah.
There you go. The latest from Gozu, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
The world's greatest baby face.
That is off their new album out now. Equilibrium. Before that, we had Fathom Farewell, Consume the Earth, which you can check out on their website, YouTube, all that good stuff. They have an upcoming, I believe, 6-song EP. We'll keep you posted on that, of course. Matt, would you rather talk about metal history or Premier League transfer news?
I'll take a Premier League transfer.
Well, your boys, Belgium, are currently leading 2-1. In the 24th minute, Matt has his vuvuzela. Switzerland beat Serbia, which I'm now happy about, because there's a guy on Southampton on Serbia, but he's leaving for Ajax, or however you pronounce
critical
that name. So, you know what? You can go to hell.
Soccer's fun, sometimes.
We're just talking about commentators and Matt likes to be very quiet, solemn when he watches.
Yeah, I like when people get mad when like a sport isn't treated like a funeral. They're like, why isn't this the most grave, important thing that's ever happened? Like, because it's a game you could play in your backyard like a baby. Not like wrestling. You can't play wrestling in the backyard. That's why it should be grave. Like when John Silver gorilla presses a guy out of a ring, you should like stand there in hushed silence and observe and respect.
That's what JR would do, you know?
You should. It's impossible to do. That's real life.
Actually, the worst part about wrestling is when people do the Owen voice, and it's like, I just roll my eyes and change the station. Yeah,
that's disgusting.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Oh, yeah. This Week in Metal History, June 17th to the 23rd. Starting off with a banger. June 17th, 97, Megadeth releases the album Cryptic Writings. I don't like this album as much as the other Megadeth albums that I do like, obviously, all of them.
I like them all equally zero.
But this was back in the days of the original, I mean, obviously not this, but in the days of the original Xbox, you could make your own custom soundtracks, and I would play a lot of Mechassault, and it was like it had no soundtrack, so Cryptic Writings was the soundtrack for Mechassault, which actually made the game seem awesome, like they should have really thought about hiring Dave Mustaine to
do
the soundtrack to that game.
Speaking of video games, any nuggets from E3 that you wanted to discuss?
Not really. Kind of E3 is like much, much smaller now. It's not as big of a...
they all have their own shows.
Bonanza anymore. Yeah, because you can just do a press release on streaming at any time and everyone will watch it, you know? I kind of miss the days of like the... what was it? G4? When you'd be like, oh, the booth babes are here, dude! And like, oh, it's crazy! You know, but... those days are over.
Wait, so was there any more of that song? Was just some drums?
There's more to it, but we're gonna let the people find it themselves. Better news. June 19th, 1989, our favorite band of all time, Creator, releases the album Extreme Aggression. Ah! I can't believe these guys are still doing this.
They still sound good.
Yeah. What is right for us?
Don't give a fuck anyway. Oh.
Black Sabbath. June 20th, 1995. That song was edited before. Black Sabbath releases the album Forbidden.
Creator's Brew Brunch.
The last album to feature Tony Martin. So in between Ozzy and Dio, and then
those names mean nothing to me.
No, Ronnie James Dio means nothing to you.
Yes, but anyone else?
Come over here, let me slap your lips.
Dio once covered Killswitch's. Never mind. Now I forget the name of the song.
I bet it was amazing. Jeff Nichols on keyboard. No one liked this album. Apparently, it sounds like every other Black Sabbath album to me. This song in particular has Ice-T on vocals. He has like a rap in the middle of this song, Illusion of Power. I mean, can't tell me that doesn't sound like every single Black Sabbath song you've ever heard. But nobody liked it, and that's the last album until like 2013 or something when Ozzy came back.
They should just stop.
Honestly, more importantly, June 20th, 2000.
I was going to say, like, 2000 gets me excited because that's the new metal era, but this is not going to be new metal on your metal history.
No.
King Diamond, House of God.
Obviously, because it's King Diamond, there's like a 17 paragraph description of what this album is about, and it's based on a parable about a man being lost in the hills and surrounded by wolves, and a wolf turns into a woman, and the woman says, "I have a curse on me, and I have to break it, otherwise I'll be banished to hell." And the man has to go back, and it turns out the woman is the devil, and he is an angel, and they fight.
That takes a turn.
King Diamond is absurd.
I once saw a King Diamond skate deck in Amsterdam. I took a picture and sent it to somebody that I knew liked King Diamond, but no, I was not excited. It put a damper on my night.
I can't believe Crater did me wrong like this. Death, June 22nd, 1993. Death releases the album Individual Thought Patterns, and we're going to wrap up this week's In Metal History. Just want to hear a little Death here. It's pretty good. I just turned it down so I could talk about it. Death, good. But honestly, more importantly, let's go back to this while I read the concert calendar so you get it.
You know what? Ultimate power. All right, so this is the next 2 weeks in metal present or metal future that you can see with the background ambient Megadeth. So, starting tonight, Saturday, June 23rd at Ralph's, you can see I can't do this. If you like this stuff, you can see Ravage, Skullhammer, Matthias Steele, and Roadhorse at Ralph's. O'Brien's Pub has Lesser Glow, Sundrifter, and Vaulted. Sammy's Patio has Martyrs, Mouth Breather, Psychic Weight, Goat Punch, Campaign Committee, Hellhorse, Strangers. And 13th Floor Music Lounge, you can see My Missing Half, Matt's Boy,
yeah.
Grizzly Curse, Once Were Kings, and Tactiles. Tomorrow at the Palladium, it's Insomnium, Oceans of Slumber, Vivisupator. One day, we'll have to have that band on so they can explain how to pronounce their name. And Age of Embers, O'Brien's Pub has A Feather and Bone, Tomb Mold, and Gog. At the Raven, you can see Death Amphetamine, Whispers of Andromeda, Bring Out Your Dead, Attacking the Vision, Ghost Fame, Hollow Betrayal, and Merp. On Monday, the 25th at Ralph's, it's By the Thousands, In Search of Solace, Bring Out Your Dead, Umbral Lux, and Emipalex. Hingham, Sons of Italy Lodge, which sounds like the worst place in the world. You can see Mouth Breather, Ghost Fame, Marble Mouth, Scout the Pioneer, Jim Jams 842, and Underthrow. On Friday at Middle East, it's Escape to Everything, their reunion show with Death Rattle, Barbarian, and Bloodline Theory. Next Saturday at the Middle East, you can see Yob, Bellwitch, and Sea of Bones. Kodo has Potsy, Seldom Sun, Before the Judge, and Beneath the Machine. At the Raven, it's the Empire CD release show with Self-Inflicted, Graveborn, Goat Punch, Underthrow, and Psychic Weight. A lot of double dipping here.
A lot.
On Wednesday, 4th of July, at Ralph's, it's Jagdpanzer with Age of Embers, Ice Giant, Graviton, and Epicenter. Thursday, July 5th, Great Scott has The Body, Big Brave, Lingua Ignata, and Mountain Man. At Ralph's, you can see Dysentery, Cognitive, Wormhole, Abhorrent Deformity, and Boar Corpse. Middle East, you can see Secrets, The Worst of Us, Saving Vice, Letting Go, and Unbounded. 13th Floor Music Lounges, Chuggernaut, Oxen, Graviton, and Without Warning. And finally, Friday, July 6th, at Ralph's, it's Elsewhere, Hyperspace, Destiny Never Dies, and 12 Miles Out.
My God.
That is your metal music. Next 2 weeks of shows. You're on vacation because 4th of July. Go see some metal. Sure. Go to Worcester.
All right. Black Metal Song of the Week.
Black Metal Song of the Week. That's good.
I tried to do a short metal history until I was betrayed by my favorite German thrash metal band. Okay, Black Metal Song of the Week. New album coming out from German black metal band Furtan. This is Seagang off the new album Okeanos, which will come out in the middle of July. Black Metal Song of the Week. Nope, got to plug back in because I was rudely denied playing King Diamond over the concert calendar. Anyway, Black Metal Song of the Week, Furtan, Seagang.
Zu tauchen in diese Tiefe nicht. all men are created equal. But you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. And they spell disaster for you.
The Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week.
We're back.
See, this intro always makes me think of a movie. It's Boys in the good. Trees with Rammstein, the original.
It's a great song.
Angle. Of course, this is the Brudershaft.
The Brudershaft. R.I.P. Big Van Vader. As I said before, obviously this week's Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week. I think no questions. Vader, one of the greatest big one of all time. I love that clip so much. Big Van Vader, Leon Allen White, born May 14th, 1955, passed away June 18th, 2018. Big Van Vader, simply Vader. When he was booked in Japan, they called him Big Van Vader, which I thought was very funny. All over the place, right? His big stardom really is in Japan, New Japan, All Japan. Then WCW, long feuds with Sting in the 80s and 90s. Then the White Castle of Fear, where he got into a tug-of-war match with Sting over a pit of fire because Kevin Sullivan was allowed to write all the programming, and me and Kevin Sullivan know what's awesome, and that's how you write a wrestling show. Also, like we were talking about before, like one of the most like mainstream wrestlers of all time, like, not Hulk Hogan level, but, like, if you showed someone on the street, like, Vader, you'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, that guy, because he was on Boy Meets World.
He's extremely recognizable.
He's just like, the most recognizable guy. He's huge. He's like, 6'8".
An absolute unit.
An absolute unit. He's a perfect circle. He's a perfectly circular man. He could do an amazing moonsault. That's the Vader bomb. That, like, choke slam thing was, like, two... Like the Dijak thing, kind of like the choke breaker, or whatever the heck he does now. But we were talking not in the Hall of Fame. He got diagnosed 2 years ago with congestive heart failure, and I remember he was on a big push, him personally, to get in the Hall of Fame. Like, the Hall of Fame is meaningless because wrestling's not a real sport, but it does have meaning because it shows like you're valued by your peers, you know, and like the WWE has like a monopoly on that. It is what it is, you know. So he wanted to be in there, campaigned hard for it, didn't get in. You know, I assume we'll go in this year or next year, whatever it is, 2019, which is kind of a shame. But his WWF run was, like, bad. Like, he was there a couple times. He botched a couple matches, and I think Shawn Michaels got him politicked out of the company, basically. And it was in the new generation, so, like, in the worst era, allegedly, of wrestling. Wrestling Observer wins, as we were going over before, me and you. Five-star match, 91, with Keiji Muto. Best heel, 93. Best wrestling maneuver, which is the moonsault.
What a maneuver!
93. Most improved wrestler, 99. Wrestler of the year, 93. Wrestling Observer, Newsletter Hall of Fame, 96. His only WWE accomplishment, no titles, no belts. He got the Slammy Award for Crime of the Century when he attacked Gorilla Monsoon.
What an award.
Tons of fun stories about Vader. I think one that I like to bring up to like even non-wrestling fans is his debut match with Antonio Inoki in 1987 at Sumo Hall. Inoki was like the Hogan of you know, New Japan, and he like not only did he like Hogan ran WWF, like he literally ran it. He was the booker, he was the promoter. He like never lost. Like the fans just would lose their mind if he took any sort of damage. And Vader came in, beat him in 6 minutes, flat, squashed. Like no rigmarole, like he just squashed him, and the crowd was like they were like apoplectic. And so Sumo Hall being like a place where sumo matches are held, so it's kind of unlike a basketball or like, you know, sports arena. There are like little benches that have like little pillows that you sit on in some parts, right? Then there's just chairs, and people were so mad. I mean, Vader said this on a podcast a couple years ago. They were so mad at him that they lit the pillows on fire and were trying to throw flaming pillows at,
that's amazing,
at him. As he kind of ran out, he had another match in New Japan with a big Stan Hansen. Stan Hansen used to swing that rope around with a cowbell on the end, and it hit him in the eye, and his eye popped out. And you can see this on YouTube. It's just on there. And he had like that weird mask, you know, it's like not really a mask, and he would take it off whenever.
Like straps, like.
The straps, kind of like a Mankind mask. And he took it off, and you can see his eye bulging out of his head, and he just
pops it back
pushes it back in. And it's just disgusting. It's just disgusting.
Wrestling is not fake.
Wrestling is not fake. Great story if you have the chance, the Stone Cold podcast. He's talking about stories with Vader. They were on tour in WCW in like the late 80s. They're in Europe somewhere, and they're at a hotel bar. And this is when Stone Cold had long blonde hair, so I think it does add to the story. Stunning Steve Austin. He had that kind of like wispy, crappy hair. So they're all drinking at the bar. Stone Cold is the last one up, of course, because Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's telling the story also. Vader had gone to bed hours before, and then he came down. So you can imagine this man. He's like 6'6", easily 400 pounds. And Stone Cold said he walked downstairs just wearing his like tighty whiteies. And he just sat in the bar, drank with him. And then this is the night for wrestling aficionados that Arn Anderson and Sid Vicious got into a fight. And someone was stabbed with scissors. Sid Vicious got stabbed kind of in the leg and the thigh, which is near an artery. Like, he could have died. And Austin said Vader just went right over to him and stuck his giant fingers in the wound to stop the bleeding until the ambulance could get there. But R.I.P. Vader.
Vader was also Mick Foley's opponent as Cactus Jack when he lost his ear.
Yes, when Mick Foley...
A lot of lost body parts.
But Mick Foley did that to himself.
That's true. I'm not... It's just another thing that... another footnote in the history of Vader.
But yeah, one of the greatest. On Boy Meets World, there was a great scene when he was on... I think it was Baywatch. And like Ric Flair was like an evil land developer. And they were trying to get the community center out of Baywatch or whatever, or something like that. And Vader just shows up as the muscle and just crushes a basketball behind everyone. And they're like... These guys mean business. We're going to have to sell the community center. But there you go. Rest of the week.
R.I.P. Vader.
R.I.P. It's been a rough week for celebs. A rough couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of celebs I enjoy. Like, I like Bourdain. I obviously love Vader. Like, Vinnie Paul. Like, that sucks. No good.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, we'll do, like, the metal history past present thing. So, tomorrow, Melrose Beyond Wrestling returns. Yeah. Doubleheader with Evolve.
It's going to be good.
Norbert and I will be there. Last time we were there, we had a minor incident with A.R.
Well,
Fox.
Well, I was going to say the last time you were there without me. A.R. Fox almost beat you guys up.
Our handler is not around. Things got a little little rowdy.
Rightfully so.
In the bleachers of Memorial Hall. But anyway, I've lost my they got rid of the list of matches, so I just have the graphics to go by. But apparently this guy Walter is a big deal now.
People love Walter.
People love Walter.
Yeah.
I love Walter, and I've taken on Josh Briggs. He's probably one of your boys.
He's a weird-looking man, Walter, because he has, like, a very big upper body and, like, very small legs. But he's, like, very strong. He's like Dan Severn. He has tendon strength.
So, dude, I guess that's the main event. A.R. Fox is taking on Nick Gage, which
will be
interesting.
Yeah.
Tracy Williams, did he drop the hot sauce moniker? Taking on David Starr in a non-title match.
That'll be good.
David Starr, quite hilarious. Although, did you follow David Starr's incident where about a wrestler being problematic?
On Twitter?
Where he was, like, playing up... so David Starr is Jewish. And
yes.
There's a wrestler on the indies playing up the whole stereotypical kind of Jewish character.
Oh, really?
And I guess... should prepare for this. But I guess... I think it turned out that the wrestler isn't Jewish.
It's so hard to follow indie wrestling Twitter.
But then he got mad, and there was a big brouhaha about whether or not this wrestler was being problematic or not.
That's lame.
Team Pazuzu is back. They're taking on the Dream Team in a nice, glorious tag schmoz. Joey Janela taking on Bad Bones. You're going to miss your boy, Joey Janela.
He is my boy.
The Gentlemen's Club is back.
Good.
Which, basically, I am here for the Gentlemen's Club. And they're going to be taking on Dick Justice and Colt Cabana. So, you know,
that's going to be fun.
Hilarity will ensue.
I've actually never seen Colt Cabana wrestle live.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah, it's weird because he's just like been around forever.
So, fresh off his court case victory.
Fresh off a victory,
with Chick Magnet Punk.
Ugh, Chick Magnet Punk.
Team Pog. You got to miss Team Pog. Taking on Kimberly and Skylar.
Honestly, like, that's match of the evening right there.
Those two, if they just did like a Broadway for each of those matches.
It's just wrestle for an hour and a half.
It'd be great. The Beaver Boys taking on American Strong.
You know what? No, because those guys got to wrestle for an hour.
That's that's Rory Gulak, right?
Yeah.
And the Pullet Club, get it? Not nope. The Bullet Club, no, but I the Pullet like Club like versus the Throwbacks out of Chikara. Another tag team match. These are all qualification matches, I believe, for American Run. I don't know. So I lose track. All the China, especially when the company itself doesn't have titles, it gets very confusing.
American Run is the end of July because they're going to be in Worcester.
Brian Malonis is back.
Hell
he's,
yeah!
He'll be with Cam Zagami taking on Thief Ant, who will be accompanied by Green Ant. Thief Ant. Well, there's a new Green Ant in Chikara, and Thief Ant is the latest addition to that stable.
Ooh.
The Colony. And then you have Team Tremendous taking on Rex Lawless and Mike Verna.
Hmm. It's going to be fun. As we always say, Memorial Hall is a great venue for anything, and especially wrestling.
You'd be surprised.
It's cozy.
It is nice and cozy. And then there'll be Gabe Sapolsky's Evolve Wrestling. We'll follow that up.
Yep.
Wrestling doubleheader.
Check that out.
So that's our wrestling segment of the week.
A lot of wrestling.
It's back. Let's do the police spotter real quick. Only two. It's a quick one.
I love it. Were there any more like... Oh, yeah. I was going to say, like, a raccoon walked across my driveway and I called the FBI.
I hope you called the police.
I called Mueller.
Did they hunt him down?
Yeah.
Is there an investigation? This one... There's only two items to get to, but this one was great because I actually saw this guy when I was on a run.
I love it.
Tuesday, June 12th at about 7:15 p.m., a man was said to be sitting on a wall near the Merrill's Wakefield Hospital with a bloody face.
Yeah.
Police learned he had just been discharged from the hospital.
Why was he still bleeding?
Because he was all bandaged up. He's probably in an accident, whatever, got conked on the head.
Yeah.
A lot of blood.
Yeah.
You know how they actually had this explained to me by a former wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, you cut your forehead, a lot of blood comes out.
Yep.
But, so yeah, he was all bandaged up and his shirt was bloody because obviously he'd probably been whatever. There was like a dude in a suit kind of just chilling, waiting to be picked up, I assume. Some concerned citizens called the police.
I feel like if he was at the hospital, they should have done a better job taping him up. Right? Why is he
was taped up. It was more, I think, his shirt was bloody and he had a bandage on, so people just assume that like he was...
Man, what do you think happened there?
I don't know. I should have stopped and asked.
That's more interesting.
But it would have been, get the full scoop.
Yeah, he'd be like, hey, what happened, bud? And he's like, I killed a man today. Like, okay, bye.
That's what happens.
See you later.
And then on Friday, June 15th, a man was reportedly dancing to loud music coming from a motor vehicle on Altamont Avenue around 4:45 a.m. What have I told you about listening to Megadeth
at
4:45 in the morning?
I was listening to Cryptic Writings all morning.
You can't even dance. You can't even dance anymore on the mean streets of Melrose.
Come on, guys. Let him dance.
Pathetic.
What do we got?
Well, speaking of horror movies.
Yep.
You've seen Hereditary, right?
Yep.
I have not seen Hereditary.
It's good.
We're going to table that discussion.
It's like The Witch.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's good for me.
TBD.
I like The Witch.
You like The Witch? Yeah. The Vivitch? But did you know that there's a sequel to Deep Blue Sea?
Nope. There is?
That's all you need to know.
All
I don't
right.
recommend seeing it.
I'm hyped.
But there's a sequel to Deep Blue Sea.
Is it on video on demand?
Probably.
Okay.
There's no Samuel L. Jackson.
Obviously. Is Ice not Ice Cube. What's wrong with me? LL Cool J?
There's no LL Cool J, and
why?
There's no Tom Jane.
That's ridiculous.
So basically, you have no
what
reason
Tom
to see
Jane
it.
What is Tom Jane doing that he can't be in Deep Blue Sea 2?
Mike Rapaport got eaten, right, in the first movie, too?
Everyone got eaten. Samuel L. Jackson got eaten in the funniest way. Michael Rapaport got eaten in the funniest way.
What's her name? I always get very upset about
that scene. The girl from Underworld?
When she falls in. No, that's not her.
Is that not Underworld lady?
No, it is not Marona Mitra or...
All of the stars of the Underworld franchise were eaten by sharks.
Stand by. No, but it's very annoying because it's like she saves Thomas Jane's life, right?
Yeah.
And then Saffron Burrows.
Okay.
Gets consumed by a shark. But you know what was? You know what else had a sequel? Another one, Hellraiser. Hellraiser
another
Judgment
Hellraiser?
Is shockingly good.
But
another sequel that's terrible, Strangers Pray at Night. Such a pointless...
I don't like The Strangers. So.
Needless sequel to make. Unless you enjoy... Have you seen Drive or whatever with like the noir...
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, your boy Ryan Gosling. If you like seeing... Christina Hendricks got brutally murdered in movies, like in that movie, you can see Strangers,
I wrote a review of Drive that was like, this movie stinks, why isn't it like the Fast and the Furious?
It is a terrible movie. I saw it.
Ugh.
Did not enjoy it.
All right.
Anyway, and also Annihilation and Winchester, very disappointing movies. People, I feel
like
they
like
saw,
Annihilation?
They saw like Get Out and the success of that and a couple other movies and like, we can just make a horror movie and put some names in it.
Yeah.
It's just, they're not good.
So
that's the state of... It's not a very good year for horror yet.
Not yet. Well, Hereditary is excellent. I think you should watch it.
Yeah, that... what else was really good? I still like Tragedy Girls, which technically came out last year, hit the festival circuit, had a big release.
But you're saying the list is bad so far?
The list is bad so far. Yeah. Very disappointing.
That is disappointing.
So, anyway, hopefully it gets better. That wraps up the show for today. We'll be back, not next week, but in 2 weeks with some guests in the studio, so stay tuned for that. We got Mike on the mic coming up next. Going to close out with some new Ghost, because we had teased this way back in the day. We were going to play this. This is probably, at least at the moment, my favorite song off the new album, Prequel. This is Faith from Ghost on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. You've been listening to Brutal Brunch. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Same time, same place. Until then, stay brutal.
The sense of it.